You're tuned into tomorrow. Right here on the Advanced Media Network.
Are you from California, Illinois, New York, Georgia, or any of the other 39 states that charge state income tax? Does your state claim you owe them any amount of back taxes? Or have you not filed in years? Is your heart pounding because you know they're wrong or you just don't have the money? Don't fight the state income tax board alone. The Tax Doctor is here to help you. The state is much more aggressive than the IRS in collecting taxes. They have the power to take your home, your car, your drivers and business licenses, even garnish your wages, freeze your bank accounts, and go after your spouse. Solve all your income tax problems permanently and keep more of your hard-earned money. Make this 100% guaranteed risk-free call right now.
800-281-7048. 800-281-7048. 800-281-7048. That's 800-281-7048.
Welcome into Tomorrow with Dave Graveline, the interactive radio network program with the latest in high-tech products and services and the experts who bring them to you. This is Into Tomorrow. Here's Dave Graveline.
It's Into Tomorrow for the weekend of March 6th, 2020. It is our 25th year. Thank you for joining us Into Tomorrow. And it's Move Your Clocks Ahead 1 Hour weekend back to daylight saving time. No S, by the way. It's not savings time. It's daylight saving time. We wish we could eliminate that altogether. I am Dave Graveline.
I'm Chris Graveline. And if you didn't set your clock and you're just tuning in, this is hour two of the program, not probably hour one, which you were expecting.
That's right. So then you're going to have to go back to intotomorrow.com, and you can sign up for the free podcast, which I hope you do anyway, and then listen to hour one if you missed it.
Right. Unless, of course, you're listening on Saturday, and then this will just be a reminder to change your time tonight.
That's a good point, because it really doesn't change to tonight if you're listening on Saturday.
Yes.
If you're listening on Sunday, hope you weren't late for church, because you should have set your clocks, all of them, the ones that you don't even think about, all around the house. An hour ahead.
Spring forward.
Spring forward. Fall backwards.
Yeah.
Something like that. Ross Moe's in the control room, Horatio handling the posts and doing all the cool stuff for research for our audience. When you get a little more technical than us just off the cuff, we want to make sure we're answering your questions correctly. And that's the key to letting us solve your digital dilemmas. Don't Google stuff. Just let us talk to you about it. So share with us any questions, comments, concerns that you might have about anything involving consumer tech. And let us address them for you. How's someone supposed to let us address them?
Well, the best way is for them to use the Message to Studio option on our free Into Tomorrow app.
There you go. And how does one obtain that, per se?
Well, you can search Into Tomorrow in your favorite app store.
All right.
And then you'll find the app.
All right.
Download it. Install it.
Now,
use it.
If you happen to not have a smartphone or a tablet, and maybe you still have just an old dial phone,
then you can dial
landline
us at 800-899-INTO, which is 800-899-4686.
If you've never called the 800 number, try that, because I sort of hold your hand through the process, and you'll see how easy it is, and you'll see what I mean. And you can do it anytime, 24/7, same thing with the app. So many tech and other industry big events have been canceled, citing the coronavirus outbreak.
Yeah, of course, the first casualty was Mobile World Congress, which we talked about already.
Yeah, we were supposed to be there in Barcelona, but that got canned.
Yeah, but now other shows have joined the list. Facebook canceled its annual F8 conference that was scheduled for May. Google scrapped this year's I.O. event, which is their annual developers conference. Mm-hmm. As of right now, the Game Developers Conference that was scheduled for this month has been postponed, they say, until summer. Although many companies have already pulled out of that show. Other companies that have canceled events include Cisco, NVIDIA, Microsoft, and Adobe. And in a related story, Twitter has asked all of its 5,000 employees to work from home.
All of their employees? All of them.
They've made it mandatory in Asia.
Wow.
But they've asked all of their other employees to work from home.
Well, that's interesting. I bet everybody went, yippee, I don't have a commute, and they don't know if I'm really working, and I can work in my underwear.
I've been waiting for my boss to ask me to work from home, but that doesn't happen.
Nope. Don't hold your breath. I'm not likely to say
something about
that.
A small office, not that many people here, and the fact that we have Into Tomorrow hand sanitizer on every desk.
Yeah, and we have had that. Hey, if you want one of those, you could ask for one of those, too, when you call in and participate on the program, and we'll send you an official Into Tomorrow hand sanitizer. I can't say that it's known to kill the coronavirus, because nothing is.
Right, and Facebook would take you down.
Right, so we're not saying that. But meanwhile, though, the South by Southwest Conference is not canceled, as of our airtime anyway, which is really kind of strange, because South by Southwest, they say, no, we're going to do it anyway.
Well, NAB Conference is also still on, because they don't care about us broadcasters.
That's true. That's the National Association of Broadcasters. Nope, we're still having our conference. Yeah. We don't care if people get sick. Oh, boy.
Of course, you've had, for the second time in history that I recall, there now an interruption in one of your upcoming trips that has been canceled.
That's true. For 14 years, I have been the moderator for the IFA Global Press Conference, which is typically somewhere around the Mediterranean. Once we did Hong Kong, but that was to introduce CE China as a new event a few years ago. This year, it was to be held in Cyprus, you know, the islands just kind of west of Syria. Nice place to be anyway. But that's not happening now, because they would bring in almost 400 journalists from around the world, many from China, Japan, South Korea, Italy. You paying attention, Erasmo? Although I shouldn't make fun, because poor guy's from Milan. That's northern Italy. I mean, that's an area that's been very heavily hit.
And Italy also announced that they're closing all the schools until mid-March.
I know. Jeez. Well, the students must be thrilled. They're going to have to make up that work somehow, so don't get too excited. It's like snow days for people up north. Oh, yay, it's snow day. Well, then they work longer in the year.
I read of one school district in the U.S. that is taking away snow days and replacing them with online class days. So if you get snowed in, stay home. You still got to do your classes, but online.
Yeah. And the teacher probably insists you have a webcam so they see you're actually there in class, present and accounted for. But the sad part is, and we talk about the tech industry because that's what we cover, but many other industries too. You know, there are car shows being canceled, and there are just anything you can think of where they would gather a lot of people have said, we're going to pass this year, or at least for now, like you say, many postponing. Now, mind you, IFA in Berlin in September, still on at the moment. That's a huge gathering, but everybody's counting on the fact that this thing will be under control sooner than later, so that some of these other big events can still take place. But, you know, very disappointing. And you mentioned this is the second time it was affected. The first time was many years ago. It was affected by an ash hole. A volcano. All the O's are problems, you know. Corona.
You still went, but everybody, had the hotel to yourself.
Yes, that's true. That's because I didn't have Wi-Fi on the plane. This is many years ago. And I landed in Paris to connect to Alicante, Spain, where we had the event this year. And they always have me go a day or two early and help them out with some logistics and so forth and grammar and whatnot. And I arrive in Paris, and my phone blew up with voicemail. Don't leave. Don't leave. They've canceled because of this volcano and all the ash in the air in the northern Atlantic. And, well, first of all, I was scared then because, wait a minute, we went through that? I made it here to Paris. You know? But secondly, it was like, great, now what do I do? And they said, no, come on. If you're already in Paris, just come on over. Yeah, we had a 400-room hotel for five of us. For 4 or 5 days. It was awesome.
Stay in a different room every night.
We did. All the suites and so forth. And they kept like skeletal crew. They sent everybody else home, but we had a chef and a bartender, you know, the important ones, and a couple of housekeepers. And it was a very good time with meetings with all the IFA key people and so forth. But I felt bad for them because it cost them a fortune. Fortunately, they did it in the same place the following year.
Yeah, so you can pretty much guarantee that next year's global press conference will be in Cyprus.
Probably.
Otherwise, they're going to lose deposits in all the hotels and everything they had.
Oh, gosh, I know. And you know, I don't feel bad for Delta and the airlines and so forth. That's their problem. They make enough money ripping us off. But I feel bad for the people who are affected by this. And people including employees and hotels and travel. And oh, my gosh, it's just very strange. What can I say?
But speaking of coronavirus, Facebook is providing the World Health Organization with free ad space in response to COVID-19.
Well, that's nice of them. They should anyway.
Yes. CEO Mark Zuckerberg announced that the social network is providing WHO with, quote, as many free ads as they need for outreach related to the outbreak. It's also providing ad credits to other organizations and is working closely with the CDC, UNICEF, and National Ministries of Health.
Good.
So finally something good that we can report on for Facebook.
I know. And finally, we don't have to see more Bloomberg ads.
Yeah.
40, sorry, I just had to get that in there because it was like, enough! 47% of Americans find identity theft, get this, worse than murder. Yeah.
Okay.
According to a recent report released by Atlas VPN, Americans are so scared of being a victim of identity theft that they even find murder less terrifying. The record high data breaches in the U.S. explain why so many people are so afraid, understandably, of getting their identity stolen. And that's not a pleasant thing. And you just have to wonder, and we talk all the time these days about data theft and security and privacy issues, and we've said for years, privacy's out the window, forget privacy. You just have to do the best you can with better passwords and more stringent concerns to get into your personal stuff.
Yeah, I mean, you know, and there are hackings all over the place. I was talking to you about before the show about I'm sitting at home last night watching TV, and I've got these Leviton smart switches all throughout my house.
Mm-hmm.
All of a sudden, my kitchen light turns itself on. So I tell Alexa to turn the kitchen light off. About 10 seconds later, it comes back on again. And then before I can reach for my phone to get the app, it turns off.
Ooh.
And then it turns on again. So I quickly launch my app, log in, change my password, and then it stops. So I don't know if it's
so
a coincidence.
Think somebody maybe.
It's either a coincidence or somebody logged in, but it was only that's the only light that was affected. It wasn't my living room light. It wasn't hall lights.
Boy.
But somehow my kitchen light was turning itself on and off constantly. And it
wasn't. I'd be in serious trouble because I have a whole lot more than just lights. You know, I've got blinds that work with that. I've got a kitchen sink you can turn on with Alexa. I shouldn't be telling everybody this, but I've got garbage cans that open on command. I mean, whatever. And it's, wow. If it's just somebody turning on and off a light just to freak you out, and of course that can happen anywhere in the world because you can use an app and just do it.
Well, you know, and I have the same company, a Leviton plug, or like a smart outlet in my bedroom, which I have a lamp plugged into. And one night I tried to tell Alexa to turn the lamp on. It didn't work, so I just gave up. I just went to sleep. About 3 o'clock in the morning, I'm awakened when the lamp just pops on. Apparently, it finally got the command to turn on.
Oh, that's sad. Now, that could have been, it could have been the same scenario with your kitchen light.
Yeah, so I don't know.
Do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do.
It's too much tech.
New laser mini magnets, are you ready for that, should make cloud computing 100 times faster. There's a little something for you to think about. Small laser-activated magnets might eventually make cloud computing 100 times faster because they're saying that they're known as single-molecule magnets, by the way. The devices use laser pulses lasting 1/1,000,000th of a billionth of a second.
That's fast.
Yeah. Want to hear that again? I just said it. It's so fast. And they use that 1/1,000,000th of a billionth of a second to store and access data. The new discovery might one day allow cloud data systems to load large files in mere seconds rather than minutes. So as you're uploading some sort of a large video file, for example, for a client, boom, done. And you would think that's really cool, but something to look forward to. So stay tuned, and of course, we'll tell you more as these new laser mini magnets become more interesting and how they are doing what they're doing for cloud computing. Pretty cool.
So you can like download the entire contents of the Library of Congress in like 5 seconds.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. And not misquote it.
Yeah.
Whatever. Jeff in Erie, Pennsylvania, listens on Money Radio, WPSE. Jeff, welcome into tomorrow.
I recently upgraded my internet speed from 100 meg to 400 meg.
Nice.
And for some reason, I've lost my printer. I had it connected to my laptop and my phone. It's a Canon MG3620. And now I have no signal at all. And I don't know what to do.
Did you look under the desk? He said he lost his printer. I'm wondering if maybe he just has to look around for it. But, Jeff, I tell you what, a change in your connection speed itself wouldn't be cause for your printer to become inaccessible. So we have to wonder, though, did anything else change in the process? If you had to upgrade your wireless access point or your wireless router, now that could have done it. It's also possible that you're getting wireless access through your internet service provider's own modem, and if that changed, the cause may be there, too. These days, most wireless access points know to let a printer through without any extra settings, but it may be worth checking that there aren't any unusual firewalls in place that could be blocking the connection.
And there's a more obvious cause along these same lines that we think may be worth mentioning only because it can be easy to overlook. If your printer is a wireless printer and your network name or password changed in any way, your printer will need to be set up with the new information because it can talk to any devices on the network. Again, all of this is related to changes in devices or settings of the network, but not the speed. If all that changed is the speed, then the timing may have nothing to do with your printer losing connectivity, and it may just be a coincidence.
Yeah, very likely. But hopefully our input has helped you out. If you, I know we discussed it fast. If you're listening while driving or something, don't worry. Visit us at intotomorrow.com. Look for the show for the weekend of March 6th. The day after my birthday. That'll help you remember it, right? 2020. And hour two, Jeff and anyone else with a similar situation, you'll see Jeff's call and our response. And hopefully with the show notes, you can follow some step-by-step info there. And let us know, because now you have me really curious what else it could have been. Hopefully, the answer is there for you. And at intotomorrow.com.
Nothing is more important than protecting your family and property. That's why you should make a free call right now to Vivint, the number one smart home services provider in the U.S. Vivint will make your home safer and more secure with a state-of-the-art system that's so simple to use. Vivint smart home specialists provide award-winning monitoring of your system 24/7, 365 to respond to any emergency, even when you can't. And with the 4.5-star rated Vivint smart home mobile app, control your entire house from anywhere. Locks, cameras, security system, all at your fingertips. Tips on your mobile device. Call Vivint now and get a free quote, professional installation, and full smart home service for as little as $2 per day. Equipment purchase or service agreement required. Conditions apply. Call now. A smart home is a safer home. So protect your family and your property, home or business, with a Vivint smart home system.
Call 800-689-3005. 800-689-3005. That's 800-689-3005. 800-689-3005.
Hi, Dave. This is John Buxbaum from Bridgewater, New Jersey. I just wanted to congratulate you and the team on 25 years broadcasting Into Tomorrow. I've been a listener for almost all those 25 years, and I'm looking forward to the next 25. God knows how old we'll be. God bless you, and God bless America.
Well, thank you, John in New Jersey, and no thanks. I don't know that I'll do it another 25. Maybe another 2.5. Who knows? We'll see.
Well, considering I was only 5 when we started the show, you know, I can keep it going.
Yeah. There's that, I guess. Yeah. By the way, I'm Dave Graveline.
And I'm Chris Graveline. Coming up in just a few minutes, Dave will be chatting with Leo Grady. He's the CEO of a company named Paige. They build technology to transform diagnosis, treatment, and drug development for cancer.
Yeah, you will find this fascinating, so don't miss that coming up in just a couple of minutes. Tired of recharging your wearable? Well, use your body heat instead. Yeah. With this week's Into Tomorrow Health Tech Minute brought to you by Dexcom, here's professional technology speaker and editor of Health Tech Insider, Alfred Poor.
Thanks, Dave. Wearable sensors are revolutionizing healthcare by providing more information about our bodies, but they need power to operate. Batteries and recharging can be inconvenient. So researchers are looking at ways to harvest energy to create the electricity that they need. One approach is to use our own body's heat to generate power. But the problem here is you need a difference between hot and cold, so you need to have a device that remains in contact with the body's skin in order to get the maximum amount of heat out of it. Researchers at North Carolina State have developed a device that is flexible and much more efficient at transferring heat for energy harvesting. They use a special silicon rubber that has graphene flakes in it, and it's 6 times better at transferring heat than their previous model. So it may soon be that you won't need batteries for your wearable devices because we'll be able to gather the heat from our own bodies and use that to power them. For Into Tomorrow, I'm Alfred Poor. Back to you, Dave.
Thanks, Alfred. Very cool, and certainly looking forward to that. Into Tomorrow's Health Tech Minute is brought to you by Dexcom. Always know where your glucose is headed and how fast. Visit DEXCOM.com for more. And, of course, more and more things continue to come up as it, you know, we don't want to make the coronavirus COVID-19 show, but it coughed up yet a new angle to the vaccine controversy. It's hard to build a device that is better for spreading a virus than a commercial airplane, when you think about it. But so far, airlines haven't felt much turbulence, see what I did there, from the controversy about vaccines for viruses like measles and influenza. Well, that might change. Should a vaccine for COVID-19 become available, airlines might be pressured by the public or forced by the government agencies to prevent people who haven't taken the vaccine from flying. And when you think about it, for the betterment of everyone else, that may be the case. And I would like to know, if I'm flying, as I travel a lot, and if I'm flying, I want to know that everybody on the plane has had a vaccine for something that can spread so quickly. Mind you, we're being told that it may very well be a year to 18 months, even though they're fast-tracking it as much as possible in order to come up with a vaccine. And it may end up being something very much like the annual flu vaccine, which is very different every year because of all the different types of flus that are in the system and out in the open and so forth.
Well, that's the thing, is people forget that coronavirus itself has been around for many, many years. This is just one strain of it.
Yeah, that's very true. And people go, what? What do you mean it's been around? Yeah, it has been. There's so many different strains. This one, the COVID-19, is really the bizarre one. Intotomorrow.com. Let's meet there when you can.
Greece is cheap.
But the airfare costs a fortune.
Paris?
Not much closer. And again, airfare.
What about Puerto Vallarta?
Let's face it, flying anywhere is just too expensive.
Wait, what's this? Low-cost airlines.
With one call to low-cost airlines, you'll drastically slash your travel costs. We're talking insanely low airline prices to any of your favorite destinations. Where would you like to go? London, Rome, Costa Rica, Australia?
Wow, that's cheap.
So why wait? Call now to learn how crazy cheap it is to fly anywhere in the U.S. or international. Our prices are so low, we can't publish them. The only way to get them is to call to instantly hear the most amazing best deals on airline travel. It's that easy. So call now and start packing.
800-419-2335. 800-419-2335. 800-419-2335. That's 800-419-2335.
Into Tomorrow continues. I'm Dave Graveline. Thank you so much for tuning in, and thank you so much in advance for participating on the program, because in our 25 years on the air covering the latest in consumer tech, gadgets and gizmos, products and services, all sorts of cool things available today and into tomorrow, you make the show. So when you call in and participate, that really makes the show and is absolutely critical to us being around for, I won't say another 25 years. I don't know if I can handle that, but at least another few bringing you Into Tomorrow. It's our pleasure. And of course, the best way to participate anytime at your convenience, 24/7, is using the audio option on the free Into Tomorrow app. So be sure and snag that. Just look for those two words in your favorite app store, Into Tomorrow, grab the app. Amazingly enough, it's got ability to get some tech news and to interact with us, to participate on the show, to ask a question, help another listener, whatever the case. And we appreciate you joining us. Or the old-fashioned way, if you prefer, toll-free from anywhere in North America, you can always call anytime, 800-899-4686. That's 800-899-INTO. And join us that way. Call in and win stuff. It's very easy. Our next guest builds technology to transform diagnosis, treatment, and drug development for cancer patients. The CEO of a company called Paige is Leo Grady. Leo, welcome into Tomorrow. How are you, sir?
Great. Great to be here, Dave.
It's a pleasure to have you with us as well. First, tell me a little bit about Paige as a company, and then let's get into some of the cool things that you guys are doing.
Absolutely. So Paige is born out of Memorial Sloan Kettering Cancer Center in New York City, which is consistently ranked one of the best cancer hospitals in the world. And what we do is we focus on pathology. So pathology is the branch of medicine where it's a piece of tissue taken from a patient, a biopsy, a surgery, and looked at under a microscope for a doctor to render a diagnosis. Mm-hmm. That's pathology. So Paige is building technology to help those doctors do their diagnosis and figure out which treatment to recommend for those patients.
Excellent. And so that's what you guys concentrate in or concentrate on. And then now you're actually introducing more artificial intelligence in pathology, which apparently is presenting some huge promises. But I guess few people are understanding how it works, which is why I'm excited to have you on the show.
Absolutely. So it holds a lot of promise to help doctors get to the right diagnosis and treatment recommendations. So imagine you're a pathologist and you're looking at a piece of tissue under a microscope and you see something unusual. What you can do is you can call over a colleague, you can ask them what they think, maybe you send the tissue for additional testing. But that's very difficult because sometimes the pathologists there don't have the right specialty in the type of cancer, they don't have the right testing available. So what do you do? That ultimately, they need to render a diagnosis for these patients. So where this sort of the technology that Paige is building comes in is to imagine that there's a different way of getting to the diagnosis, where instead of looking at the tissue under a microscope, you take a picture of it and you feed that into a computer. And the computer is able to look through that tissue and find patterns in there that match known patterns for cancer and make that information available to the doctor. So that way, they have that information, it can help them get to the right diagnosis and treatment for that patient.
And to allay anyone's fears listening that thinks that AI is going to replace their doctor, that's not at all the case, right? This is just to help them make a better diagnosis, perhaps faster as well, right?
Absolutely. So you can really think of this technology as almost a new type of testing. So a test doesn't replace the doctor. It gives the doctor more information to be able to understand the patient's disease and ultimately get them the right treatment. And the technology that we're building, the AI technology that we're building, is exactly the same thing. Finding those patterns, making that information available to the doctor. But ultimately, they need to figure out what the diagnosis is.
Sure.
And how to move forward with best treating that patient.
Well, Leo, does tech play a role these days in patients' cancer diagnosis and treatment? And obviously, we know what Paige is doing, your company, for helping with AI. But is there really a role other than the obvious, you know, X-rays and MRIs and things of that sort? But what is tech doing currently?
Absolutely. Tech is involved in all aspects of patient care. So there's constantly new diagnostic testing, whether looking at the genes of tumors or different kinds of chemicals that respond to cancer. There's also new therapies, new drugs that are made available constantly in order to be able to better treat those patients. The use of computerized technology in that diagnostic process for pathology, for looking at tissue, is something that's really new and something that holds a lot of promise to really provide more information and help the patients get the right treatment every time.
And I'm assuming that artificial intelligence, AI, is really helping doctors diagnose cancer faster, which we hear all the time, if you can get to something early, you stand a much better chance.
It's absolutely true. And also, if you think about this AI technology as a test, well, there are other tests out there. You can do gene sequencing of the tumor. You can do other kinds of stains. Many of those tests can take a week or 2 weeks in order to get the test results back. Mm. So sometimes those tests don't even get run because the patient can't wait that long. By using this computerized technology, which works almost instantaneously, that information can be made to the doctor. The doctor can get that diagnosis, and that information can get back to the oncologist and the patient much faster.
And can I imagine now, Leo, that if we're using AI to find these patterns that you talked about in cancerous tissue and so forth, and will it also help to tell how aggressive a cancer is? Is it going to respond to certain therapies, that kind of thing? The kinds of questions that I think everyone would have. It's like, okay, well, it's unfortunately you found this, but now what can you tell me, and how will AI help?
Absolutely. That's a great question. So we really believe that the ultimate promise of this technology is not just providing information to the doctors during that diagnostic process, but ultimately looking for those patterns inside a tumor that are going to indicate that tumor responds to certain drugs or certain therapies. And once that link is established between certain patterns in the tumors and responding to the right drug, that information becomes really powerful, because then that can be used to not only deliver the right drugs to those patients, but ultimately start designing drugs to address tumors that have those patterns.
Wow. I mean, it truly is fascinating, the work that you and your team are doing. I'm wondering now, too, what should cancer patients know, for that matter, about what their oncologists are doing, how they're testing their various tissues? These things, it's like, just leave it up to the doctor, they know what they're doing, or of course, an informed patient, to me, has always been a much better opportunity.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, unfortunately, it's very difficult for patients to really understand the landscape. And you're absolutely right. Getting better education, getting more information about the type of cancer and what tests are available, what treatments are available, is ultimately going to help the patient ask the right questions, to select the right hospital, and ultimately get the right treatment for them.
And where do you see the Paige AI currently in the medical field? Is this, I hope, being rolled out as rapidly as you can possibly do it? Is this available currently to most hospitals or doctors? Oncologists are saying, yes, tell me more. Let's get this let's get this working, because it seems to me that it's all a win-win in terms of faster diagnosis, better treatments, just the whole rapid response.
Absolutely. So we were very excited and honored to receive a breakthrough designation from the FDA, which is the first breakthrough designation for any AI technology in pathology, or as far as we know, all of cancer care. And so this technology is being used to, we're working through the FDA process with that technology today. Mm-hmm. And right now we're in sort of early sites, trying to work with doctors to get feedback on the technology and the product to make it better before doing a full launch and making it available everywhere.
Excellent. And now, of course, it seems, especially with anything involving medical issues, it takes forever to get things out. But the fact that you've got this FDA early approval and get some testing going, is there any kind of a timeline that you can tell our audience that by such and such, we anticipate this being available to more people? And then, of course, then the rollout really begins.
As soon as possible. As I said, we're currently testing the technology and working with a variety of different hospitals. We hope to be able to roll that out, obviously, as quickly as possible and make this diagnosis and treatment available to patients as soon as we can.
Gotcha. And I understand it's not a date certain because there's some tweaking along the way, no doubt. One of the things that we talk a lot about the last many years on this broadcast is concerning everyone's data and there's the security, the privacy of their data. Should we be concerned about health data in a similar manner? And how does perhaps artificial intelligence play a role there? Because now we've got digital information, too, about what might be a cancer scenario or some medical issue. Is there something that can help along those lines as you're continuing to work on this?
I think as a society, we have two needs and two values that we need to balance. One of those needs is privacy, patient privacy for all of your medical records. It shouldn't be possible for an employer or the government or whatever to see your medical records because they're yours and they're very personal.
Yeah.
In addition to that, we also have a societal need to develop new technology that can help prevent, diagnose, and treat disease. And I think, fortunately, there's a good way to harmonize those two values that we have, which is through the use of anonymized data in aggregate where it's possible to look at a broad scale and build technology without really identifying any individual patient. I think a good example of that is with the recent coronavirus. We all have seen the maps of the spread. We know that there are cases here and there. Some people have died. Some people have been infected. That data is personal to those patients, to those individuals, and it would be a problem for their names to be put in the press and whatnot. But overall, as a society, it helps us understand the spread of the disease, to manage that, to prevent it, to control it, and ultimately to find a cure. And so I think we're able to balance those two needs. And frankly, I think the laws that we have in place, both in the U.S. and abroad, strike a pretty good balance there.
For sure. Excellent explanation, and I appreciate you taking the time to do that. By all means, you want to learn more about what Paige is doing, how they're transforming the diagnosis and treatment of cancer. Look into their AI-native digital pathology ecosystem. It truly is fascinating. Visit Paige, Paige.ai. Paige.ai, cleverly enough, as if artificial intelligence, right? Whatever, you get the idea. We'll get you there, too, when you visit us at intotomorrow.com. Leo Grady, CEO of Paige, keep up the great work, and let's make sure we touch base again soon and check on your progress.
Thank you so much, Dave. It was a real pleasure.
It's our pleasure as well. Paige, Paige.ai. And again, intotomorrow.com. We'll get you there. You'll be a click away. I'm Dave Graveline. We continue bringing you further into tomorrow right here on the Advanced Media Network.
Do you owe $10,000 or more on at least two federal student loans? Then you may qualify for new programs offered by the Department of Education. These programs can reduce your interest, lower your payments, and possibly qualify you for loan forgiveness. If you have $10,000 or more and at least two federal student loans and currently not in school, you may qualify for one of these programs. Call now to check your eligibility. Student loan advisors are standing by to help you determine if you qualify for these new programs. They can help you reduce your interest, lower your payment, and even forgive a portion of your student loan debt. Take control of your financial future. Make this free 5-minute free call now to Nationwide Student Loans and learn how you can reduce your student loan debt.
800-817-2939. 800-817-2939. 800-817-2939. 800-817-2939.
Hey, Dave, this is Carl from Mantee, Mississippi. Just wanting to tell you congratulations on 25 years of Into Tomorrow.
Thank you, Carl. I
can't get enough of it.
I love hearing from Carl and Mantee because, first, it sounds like a child in the background, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. Like a baby or something. Then it sounds like not a baby.
I think I'm going to take that little sound bit clip at the end there and make that like my text sound on my phone.
Really?
For when I get a text message.
Carl, let me hear that again.
Hey, Dave, this is Carl from Mantee, Mississippi. Just wanting to tell you congratulations on 25 years of Into Tomorrow.
I love it. And thank you, Carl. We appreciate that. See, that's awesome. So if you want to put something in the background that we don't have to dump when you call in and congratulate us for 25 years on the air, don't forget to tell us what you'd like or dislike most about tech in the last 25 years. We would love to play it as well, coming out of some commercial breaks, and make you the star, because you, our audience, are the star. We do appreciate that. By the way, I'm Dave Graveline.
I'm Chris Graveline. This portion of Into Tomorrow is brought to you in part by HughesNet, America's number one choice for satellite internet. Text the word radio to 35,000 for more info. Again, text the word radio to 35,000.
Oh, and by the way, when you call in, when we hear you on the air, you win prizes for participating. And if you would like any of the particular prizes you're about to hear us mention, no promises, no guarantees, but do tell us when you call in, and we'll do our best to get perhaps that item to you. Like, for example,
ask quickly, because we only have a couple left, from TurboTax.
Yes.
Online codes good for any of their products to help you file your income tax fast and easily.
From Wiz, Wi-Fi connected color-changing LED light bulbs. They work with Alexa, Google, and Siri.
From Love Handle, we've got custom Into Tomorrow smartphone grips. You can get ready to love your phone.
You know, I'm surprised how many people ask for Dave's Love Handles. But we'll send them to you if you'd like. From iHome, Aquio Bluetooth water bottle speakers in a variety of colors.
And from Silent Beacon, we've got some of their personal safety wearable devices.
There you go. And all you need to do is participate anytime, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 800-899-INTO, or better, the audio option on the free Into Tomorrow app. So download and use that.
Yes, it'll sound like you're sitting right next to us here in the studio.
On right Chris's forward. Lap, even.
Let's not get crazy.
Well, but it might be. Don't forget to spring forward Sunday morning if you're hearing the show on Saturday before you go to bed tonight. Or if you forgot, then get back and fix your clocks, any that didn't change automatically. And visit us at intotomorrow.com.
Hey guys, it's Sue Cosner, your favorite sexual health expert, with another version of Ask the Pro. This month, I got a letter from Sandy in Seattle about an explosive bedroom secret she and her husband recently discovered. She writes, "Dear Sue, my husband and I used to have a great life in the bedroom, but in the last few years, he has struggled. He's tried about everything, but nothing has worked. Then one day he came home and gave me a night I will never forget. He told me about this secret formula, Noxatril, that changed our life in the bedroom once and for all. Wow, Sandy, you beat me to it. I recommend Noxatril to every guy that struggles in the bedroom. It's the only one. Noxatril is all natural and works to increase blood flow fast. It's like that little blue pill on steroids. Noxatril has a special free bottle offer shipped discreetly to your door.
To find out how to get your bottle of Noxatril, call 800-574-5007, 800-574-5007. Get your free bottle for a limited time. Call now. 800-574-5007, 800-574-5007.
Dave, it's Rocket Man Dan. Congratulations on 25 years. I can't believe it's been 9 years since you and I met in London for that jetpack flight, and I've been listening ever since. And I'm looking forward to the next 50.
50? It's bad enough when people say 25 more. Thank you, Dan, in Texas. The Rocket Man. Very cool stuff. I'm Dave Graveline.
I'm Chris Graveline. Don't forget that you can listen 24/7 on our website and on our free Into Tomorrow app. StreamGuys.com helps us stream the last several weeks of Into Tomorrow at those places on the app and on our site at intotomorrow.com.
Cool. Larry in Toledo, Ohio, listens on AM 800 CKLW. Hey, Larry.
Was wondering what you know about a email virus protection program called ESET.
Well, all right. ESET has been around for a while, and Nod 32 is a well-known antivirus product. There's not that much to say, though, about the company. It's a Slavic company that has been in business for many years and that puts out a product that is generally considered okay, but nothing particularly amazing, if you will.
Yeah, its antivirus protection is good. Its general anti-malware protection, including other threats, generally scores more towards the middle of the pack, but there's nothing wrong with it necessarily. For the price, which is usually around $40 a year, we'd tell you to look around and you might find better offerings.
Yeah, in fact, you will find better offerings. If you like it for some reason or other, and a lot of people do, they have favorite antivirus, anti-malware programs, and you don't mind paying for it, then keep paying for it if it does the job for you and makes you feel comfortable. If not, for that amount of money, you can get several other companies, including some American companies, that will do the job. And more details can be had at intotomorrow.com.